Well, so take your Bibles and go to the book of Daniel, please, chapter 4. There's so much going on, and can't keep up with it all, you know. No matter what you do, you can't keep up with it all. And I'm kind of grateful I don't even sort of try sometimes. But there's one real great truth that I want you to keep in your heart and think about. That Almighty God is reigning in the kingdoms of men. Our Father Yahweh rules. There's no doubt about it. And it's always been that way. I can't say that every single thing that goes on in life and every crazy thing that goes on in life he's got his fingers into, but I know this much. He's in charge. And if he wants something to happen, whatever it is, it's going to happen. And it's going to come to pass. And it don't matter what you think or I think or anybody else thinks. In fact, it says very clearly here in this chapter, nobody can talk him out of nothing. You can't change anything he wants. You know, the book of Daniel starts out with Israel going into bondage. And it says very clearly in the first chapter, in the first verse, it says, "In the third year of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it." It says, "And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasury of the house of his God." Yahweh did this. Now, when you read the entire book, you realize that Israel had gone off the rails so badly that they were going into bondage for 70 years. That was going to be the price that was got to be paid for the sins that they were doing and the rejection of Almighty God. It doesn't mean that every single soul in Israel was an unbeliever. Obviously, because you got Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You probably have others that are not recorded of. But it was enough. The sins of the nation of Israel were sufficient, and the kings of Israel were sufficient to cause the entire nation to go into bondage. So you can get dragged into something that you're really not a part of, right? But Almighty God has them go to Babylon, and eventually it's going to be because, you know what, Babylon's going to protect them. It's going to provide for them. They're not going to starve. They're not going to be dispersed. They're not going to be wiped off the face of the earth because God wants it to go this way. Same thing with Egypt, remember? You know, God had Joseph's whole life to set. His whole life was a sacrifice to save his own people, the 12 tribes of Israel, and then to come out of Egypt with the wealth of it. I can't figure out what's going on day by day. You can't figure out what's going on day by day. There's no doubt about that. I mean, and to try, like some of these people do, I think is a foolish exercise. you know, to you're going to decide what God's doing at any particular point in time. Not in our little lives, you know. But I just wanted you to get the bigger picture here. So God sets up this king. And then in the visions that he gives him, he says, you are the greatest king that will ever live. And then later on here, as things go by, I think he's getting a little bit too big for his britches. And in chapter 4, we come to this place where Nebuchadnezzar is addressing all of us and his people. And he's relaying to us what God has done with him and how it all went. And what was the conclusion of the matter here. And it's tremendous insight for you and me. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God had wrought towards me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. This man has learned something here, huh? Mm-hmm. We're going to find out what he went through. He's going to tell us. But the point is, he has really learned something. Now, this is the biggest king on the earth, and it's probably the greatest empire that, as far as God's word is concerned, it's the greatest empire that's ever going to be set up on the earth. Now, it don't matter whether you agree with that or not, but the point is that's what God's word says. How's that? I got a lot of people want to debate everything. Yeah, just read what's written. God's in charge. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 4, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. And I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the vision of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream, that I that I have what I have seen and interpret thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. The height thereof was great, and the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven. And the sign and the sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. And the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof was much. And it was meat for all. And the beasts of the fields had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heavens dwelled in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. And he cried aloud and said thus, "Hew down the tree and cut off the branches and shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. And let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. And nevertheless, leave the stump of the root in the earth, even with the bands of iron and brass, and the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let the portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let 7 times pass over him, 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men." The whole point of what he's going to go through was this point. You're, I rule, not you. I rule, not you. God rules. Our Father rules. I take great comfort in that. You know, you go to bed at night knowing the Lord rules. And this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 18, had seen. "Now therefore, Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of the kingdom were not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." This man didn't know Yahweh the way you and I do. He certainly didn't know it the way Daniel did. He didn't know him. But I tell you what, he knew that there was power there. He knew that there was power there. "Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was anointed," was atoned for 1 hour. He meditated, thought about this thing for 1 hour. "And his thoughts troubled him, and the king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. And Belshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee." It's going to benefit those that hate thee. "And the interpretation thereof to thy enemies. The tree that thou sawest." And I want you to know, I mean, we're going to spend every detail of this thing is going to be repeated. And there's a reason. It's not just to fill up the page. Okay? And, you know, when God says something in his word, and you're going to talk about his stuff, I think we ought to speak what was said. Because the words themselves, they have power. You know, just a thought. So anyhow, where was I? 20. "And the tree that I saw, which grew and was strong, whose height reacheth unto the heavens, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much. In it was the meat for all, and under which the beasts of the field dwell upon Upon the branches, the fowl of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, and the greatest is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw the watchers, the holy ones, coming down from heaven, and saw you down the tree, saying, you down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump and the roots thereof in the earth, even with the bands of iron and the brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the field until seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which cometh upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and dwell, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall come, they shall make thee to eat the grass as oxen, and shall be wet, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. And whereas he commanded to leave the stump of the tree root, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou hast known that the heavens do rule. You're going to get the kingdom back. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be the lengthening of thy tranquility. Take counsel here. I'm going to tell you. Stop sinning. Take care of the poor. Your iniquity, the whole way in which you're living. And maybe God will lengthen this period of time of tranquility in your life where you got everything. You know? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Look at what I have done. For my power I did it, my majesty. And while the word was in the king's mouth, fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. How? Snap of the fingers here. The decree is made from heaven. History changes. Man's life changes in a moment. And then verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as an ox, as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until his hairs were grown together like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes. At the end of those 7 years, I lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what dost thou? What are you doing? You know, if you think about this, you just think about this, you meditate upon it. He's the most powerful man on earth. He hasn't got an enemy in the whole world. He's conquered them all. There's nothing. But he didn't get the fact that, no, you didn't make Babylon. You didn't do it by your power or your might. You know, this is God is the one who's ruling. God is the one who did it, set it up, allowed it, whatever you want to call it, by his decree. And you got to learn your place. Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of the kingdom, my honor and my brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. All whose works are true, and his ways and judgments, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And that was probably one of his great sins, was pride. I have done this by my might, my power, you know, my majesty, pride. But God did all of this just so this man and you and I would know he rules in the kingdoms of men. This is going to go God's way, on his terms, how he wants things to go. Future history is already written. The book of Revelation makes known to us what's going to happen in the future. When is it going to happen? When God wants. How is it all going to come to pass? When the Lord God Almighty decrees it. But it will come to pass. I got a glimpse. We got a glimpse. We got a glimpse of who our Father is. Everybody on earth is of no consequence. They're like grass. You know, I watched a 1990 Voyager was sent out in the 70s, right? Was the first thing, one of the first things many years ago. I can't give you the whole story of here, but the probe Voyager went out. It's still working. It's left solar system, and it's in interstellar space at the moment. But in 1990, Carl Sagan asked NASA to turn the camera around and take a picture of Earth from where it was. And it's on the internet. You can find it if you want. I mean, it doesn't take that much. NASA's very happy, very proud of these things. And this thing turns around. Now, this is our planet, right? This is where we all live. I mean, this is where everything's happening. And it was a blue speck. It took a picture of the planet Earth that was a blue speck that didn't fill a pixel from the distance where it was. And this is where we think we run everything. It adds perspective, doesn't it? Something like that. It adds perspective. Who's your father? How important? You know, if I yell as loud as I can, I don't believe my neighbors who are 50 feet away can hear me if I yell in this basement. Your father who rules the universe hears every word you speak to him. Why are you important? Not because you live on this little blue dot. You're important because he says you're important. He has set his heart upon you. He has decided to love us. Why are you significant? Because he, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has decided to save you and set his heart upon you. You're not significant at all in the scheme of things. You know, you take a look at that little photo that's on NASA's website, and you wonder, oh, if there was any intelligent life flying by, this is not what would stand out to them. You'd miss this like you'd miss the ant on the sidewalk as you walk down the street. We're not standing out like we're something special in the scheme of the physical universe. You stand out because God set his heart upon you. And he wanted it to be this way. That's something you just got to wrap your head around. When you realize you get a perspective, all of a sudden the noise of the world around us doesn't mean much. You know, all of a sudden this lifetime of 100 years, if we get that much, it's pretty insignificant. It says in the book of Job that your sins don't move him and your righteousness doesn't cause him to do anything. Jesus said we're all like grass, right? The wind comes, blows it away, gets thrown in the oven. Perspective. There are people always worried about everything that's going on. Your father's got it all. He's got you, and he's got what's going on. He rules in the kingdoms of men. You can go to sleep at night and know that you're in his everlasting arms. He can hear and go to Isaiah 40 for a second. You know what our job is? To believe him, to trust him. Certainly not to be arrogant and prideful. When I pray, I try not to tell my Father what he's supposed to do. I ask him for his intervention, people's lives. I ask him for his blessings. I ask him. It's a request. You know, it's only when he tells you what to pray for that you can demand it. You know, if he tells you to cast out the spirit, then in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. Why? Because he's telling you, just like he told Moses, pick up your stick and the Red Sea split. There's a difference. We just keep asking. In Isaiah 40, God Almighty sent Isaiah, a young man, and he told Isaiah, you know, he asked, who shall I send? And Isaiah said, send me. Here I am, send me. And then God told him, nobody's going to ever listen to you in your lifetime. No one is going to believe a word that I give you to tell them. This is just before they went into bondage. None of them. Imagine getting a job of being able to deliver a message for Almighty God and then having the discouragement in your head, heart, that no one is ever going to believe this that I talk to. You ever ask yourself, what's the point? You know, why am I doing this? I'm sure he did. But God told him up front. Yeah, he tells us a lot of things up front, too. He says the world's going to get worse and worse. It says if you really love me and you speak up for me, they'll persecute you. They're going to think that they do God's service by trying to get rid of you, killing you. Are we surprised people don't like you? Are we surprised if we're doing it right? I mean, if we're not doing it right, then everybody's our pal. I mean, Jesus never did anything to hurt anyone, and yet they wanted to kill him from the beginning. The earth and the people on it are full of darkness and evil. God's people are the lights of the world, the salt of the earth. It's never going to, can't we all get along? That ain't going to happen. I don't mean that I'm the one pushing the buttons, but I'm going to speak the truth. And I'm going to speak it in love. And let the chips fall where they may. Isaiah certainly did. You know, Nebuchadnezzar found out in a heartbeat. You know, when the decree comes from the Lord, it's happening. It's happening. And there's no one getting away. None. I love this chapter 40. And I would love to read all of it, but I'm not going to. talks about the kingdom coming, talks about the voice of him that cries in the wilderness that's coming to make ready. That's John the Baptist, Brian. It talks about the kingdom coming, the valleys are going to be laid low, the mountains are going to be laid low, the valleys are going to be lifted up. Things going to be beautiful. You got so much to look forward to. And yet, the people of God dismiss the words and the promises and the blessings. Verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule of him, and behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. And he shall feed his flock like the sheep, and he shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hands?" Now, look at what it says here. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands and meted out heaven? He's measured out heaven with the span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure and the weight of the mountains in the scale and the hills in the balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, and who, or being his counselor, hath taught him? God, the God who has promised us deliverance, the kingdom to come, the new heaven and earth, this God is the one that measured out the universe between his thumb and his little finger. That's the span. Now, I love that science stuff, right? James Webb Telescope, they got a new one up there now. I forgot its name. They got the other one, the older one, Hubble. They're seeing stuff that's blowing their minds. It's changing all their science. Throwing out all their theories. It's breaking their heads. It really is. It's a marvel to see. Because you can observe certain things, right? And they can see these things. They're concrete in front of them. And they're looking, as far as they're concerned, the distance is like 14 billion light years away. And they still got thousands upon thousands of galaxies that are that far away. And they still haven't come to the end. Because Genesis says the whole thing's surrounded by water. We live in a bubble. Man, but Moses, the world is just crazy. Moses just sat on a rock and thought this stuff up. No. God told him. Our Father doesn't live inside of his creation. It's just like this house, right? I live inside this house. Somebody built this place. But the builder doesn't live inside this house. He lives in a much better house. In a better neighborhood. Because he made all these houses. I doubt very much he's alive. This was made in 1946. My point is, God created the heavens and the earth He put man on that little blue speck because he wanted it that way. He desired it that way. And he tells us all about it in his scriptures. And we lose perspective on how great and huge and big and supreme he is. And we lose heart because things don't go our way. And we ask, well, where's God here? You know, stuff happens. And we are like grass. We get thrown around. But he tells us what's happening and what it's going to be and how it's going to end up. He's the one, and you keep how huge he is. He weighs the mountains in a scale. It's like going to the deli. Give me a pound of bacon. There's Everest. And all the rest of them. Perspective. Proportion. Who has directed him? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the paths of judgment and taught him knowledge and showeth him the ways of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance, and behold, he taketh up the islands as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, or the beasts thereof sufficient to burn for an offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom, then, will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And then the Lord here goes in this chapter, I suggest you read it. It's a beautiful thing. And he talks about how you've made me in the image of the things that I've created. Remember the first and great commandment? Have no images. Don't make anything look like me. Don't make a representation of the birds or anything else. Make no representation in an image and consider it me. And people do this all the time. You know, you take a piece of wood, he says here in this chapter. And you take a nice piece of cedar, you chop it up for heat, you cook your food on it, and then what's left over you make into your God. I grew it up. I gave you the tree. What are you doing? So this thing it doesn't have an ear. It can't hear you. And yet you pray to it. Talk about dysfunctional, insane, even if you just thought about it. You're going to take this tree and you're going to make a chunk of it your God, and you're going to use the rest of it to take care of your business. Keep you warm at night. And cook your food. Sounds kind of silly, isn't it? But you'll see this all over the earth. You see it in the neighborhood. Perspective. You can have great comfort in your heart, your head, your life. Like I said, I don't know what's going on day to day. I just know that my father's involved, and I pray for his involvement every single day. I pray that prayer that God Almighty deals with all those that are in authority over his people's lives. I pray for that. I pray that he deals with them any which way he chooses so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty, so that we can move the word in every nation around the world. And I pray that there's no such thing as that the word of God is not able to be spoken in any country. And right now, there are vast nations that it's illegal to talk about Yahweh. It's illegal to have a Bible. It's illegal to speak his word. Can you imagine? Why? God's in charge. He wants that changed in a moment. He just has to decree it. But he asks us to pray. He asks us to speak. He asks us to stand up for him. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning. And I pray that we just don't get snowed by the noise that's in this world. Just remember, your Father is your Father, and he owns the universe. So, amen.